Hello everybody and welcome back to the channel and another video. Let's play the intro and then get right into it. Yes, hello everybody and welcome back to the channel and another video. It's the Arsenal show and I'm joined by two great guests. I'll go to the one here first. Ray, you're back again, back on the channel. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, thank you again, mate, for inviting me on. It's always a pleasure. Listen, I'm in with Royalty Podcast, Arsenal Royalty with you two. So I'm absolutely thrilled and honoured to be here. And no, I'm not in jail. I'm not in prison. I've just moved.
I was going to say, they're nice curtains for prison, mate.
Well, I mean, you know. But yeah, the lighting's terrible. You'll probably hear all sorts of weird old background noises. So apologies, people. We'll try and I'll try and do my best to keep it under wraps. But
you're not, you're not in Wandsworth with that woman, are you? Weird noises.
I can't comment. No comment.
No worries. And right there at the bottom, it's the main man, Mr. Albert JTV. Albert, how you doing? Making his debut. I'm glad I finally got you on. I said I'd do it.
Go on, James. That's it, mate. Go on. When you put the call out, I said, cool, so I'm going to be there, mate. Flip it. You've got to be having a laugh. Not going to turn it down. But to be fair, the first thing I said to you was, what time is it? Because work's a bit funny sometimes with my job. Yes. So I'm going to be sort of rushing to, but you said 8:30. I said, that's perfect, mate. So pleasure to be on, joining Ray again after such a long time. I forgot what he looked like, to be honest. But
James, with this lighting, mate, you can't even bloody see me. So
don't worry, man. I can. Don't worry. James, man, yeah, pleasure to come on, man. 100%, mate. It's you, man.
Thank you so much. No, I appreciate you both coming. And like I said, Albert, it was a bit like, I don't know if you guys saw the pre-match stuff on Amazon. I mean, when they put it on, they were an hour behind, weren't they? You know, they said something about with the weather, they couldn't get the signals and everything connected. But yeah, when Arteta, I don't know if you saw it pre-game and he had his pre-match question, they said to him about, oh, Mika Moreno's in the squad. Will we see him tonight? And he said, what manager ever picks a player that's never going to play? I just love how he responds. And yeah. I don't think he's intentionally nasty. I just think that's how he is.
Yeah, I do.
If you ask me a stupid question, I'm just going to come back. Do you know, he's got that old, you know, vibe to him of like, yeah, you ask me something stupid, I'm just going to blanket, smack you back with this response. But yeah, just quickly, I know normally I do like the lineup and then we go into like players and goals and everything. The lineup was pretty much what we all expected, wasn't it? There weren't no real changes in there that you were thinking after the weekend, either of you. I'll go to you first, Ray.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much what we expected. It was the same exactly as the Leicester lineup, wasn't it, really? So, yeah, I think, you know, other than the second half where it just went belly up in the Leicester game, I thought if we could start how we did in that game, but just not make the mistakes, I thought we'd get the win. So I think that turned out like that, really. Sorry, background noise number one. But yeah, I think in terms of the lineup, mate, I think it was pretty much as we expected.
Yeah, and Albert, was there anything lineup-wise that you thought would be different? Or was there anybody that you perhaps were like, oh, I think he'd be better off today than this one?
No. The lineup was kind of what I thought it was. I was lucky enough to be there, James, for the game on Tuesday, Champions League night. It's funny because I don't know if you'll touch upon it, but there was a bit made of the atmosphere. I was at a different game, James. I was quite surprised when that got kind of brought up on the night after. But let me not digress. But yeah, in terms
well,
of
no, lineup, if you want, man, no, if we go for me, I as a television viewer, so I know I wasn't there. I was just like, well, they're just so loud that it's probably drowning out everything.
Yeah, you're gonna get that. If you've been for any club that's played European football, the way fans that come over from other countries, they're superb. They're absolutely brilliant. Like that's how it is in their domestic leagues anyway. So I wasn't surprised. So if you're gonna as an Arsenal fan, if you're going to compare it to the way the European away fans are when they come to England, I feel that's a little bit unfair on the Arsenal fans personally. But listen, I thought the atmosphere was brilliant personally, but maybe, like I said, James, maybe I'm a minority as a different game. I'm not too sure, man. But in regards to the game, yeah, the lineup part, I wasn't too shocked or surprised, really. I think with Trossard in particular, he's a very good footballer, very intelligent footballer. So technically, in theory, it should work with him playing in that position. It should work. He's intelligent enough. He's a good footballer. He can use both feet. But I think for me, James, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil the flow of your show, but with Arsenal, I think being back in the Champions League, I said it before and I'll say it again, I was concerned going into last season Champions League because we've been out of it for a long time, man. And, you know, the higher echelon of football, you're playing European football, and we haven't been there for 7 years. You're taking baby steps to catch up, really, but you've got to learn quickly. We saw some sort of pros and cons last season in the Champions League specifically in terms of how Arsenal are going to tackle it. But if they have learned quickly, I think the first 45 minutes against PSG was 100% evident of that.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And I'll go to you first, Ray, and then I'll come back round to Albert just after. But PSG, 52 consecutive Champions League group games that they've scored goals in. They come to the Emirates. Obviously, we shut that down. And it just amazed me. And I'd done a stream myself the other night just before this where I was reviewing Leicester and talking about PSG and everything else. And I actually spoke a little bit in length about the media and stuff that's being said by certain people. And I'll touch on it before we get to the end as well. But I thought it's really important here. Melvin, when he was on the show a few weeks ago, shout out to Melvin. He's probably watching, but yeah, big fan of Melvin on this channel. He said about if you look closely at goalposts in football now, they've actually got little remote control tyres because they keep being moved, especially the ones at Arsenal. They're being moved all the time. And it went, Arsenal beat, okay, this is a completely different, we know this is a completely different PSG.
Yeah.
But yet before a ball was kicked, I was being told how important they are, how good they are. Their midfield's absolutely rapid. They're going to smash Arsenal to bits, even though they haven't got Dembele playing. They're still going to do this. They're going to, and you know, Arsenal are going to think it's going to be a walkover, and it's not. And yet, when we win, oh, they're terrible. They're terrible. That's the worst PSG I've seen. They're terrible, that PSG. Arsenal need to win away for them to make a statement in the Champions League. Well, these guys are unbeaten in their league, scoring goals for fun. Okay, it's more about the quality of that league. And this is a manager that I have people tell me is better than the manager that's in the dugout for Arsenal. So when this is the case, Ray, how do you feel about this? Because for me, I thought it was a very, very good, like Albert said, first half, arguably from an attacking standpoint, probably one of the best first halves we've played this season, regardless of the competition. And yet it just seems like because it's us, it's diminished.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I thought first half, we were absolutely spot on. I thought that how we just imposed ourselves. I think PSG actually started quite well for the first sort of 10, 15 minutes or so. But I don't know if you boys would agree with that, but I feel like we just sort of took that on board and we just sort of grew into the half. And the first goal for us really did sort of just change the landscape of the game, I felt anyway. As you mentioned, PSG have scored in 52? Games did you mention, James?
The Champions League? 51. Yes,
52. So, so they're no mugs. And I mean, I know it's a different PSG side to maybe one that we're used to seeing. I know, obviously, people do think of Neymar, Mbappe and Messi in recent years. I know that team has been dismantled over the last couple of seasons. But they've still got a lot of quality, PSG, and I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of their players end up playing in the Premier League at some stage in the next few seasons. Because they've got a lot of talent, but they're very young, And maybe at this level, this PSG side are a little bit naive. And it's a bit weird because we're normally used to seeing that or saying that with Arsenal, aren't we? That Arsenal were a bit naive and a bit young and inexperienced at this competition. But it just looked like it just completely roles reversed, really. And in regards to the first half, as I mentioned, that opening goal, once we got it, I think then we just sort of took control. I think it was a real punch in the face to PSG, and they probably wasn't expecting us to do that to them. I think they were probably expecting to come and set their stall out early. It was just a really good first half performance. I was really impressed with Kai Havertz and how he puts himself about. There's obviously a lot of talk about us needing a out-and-out goal scorer. Albert, I know you're a massive fan of Victor Gyökeres and what we do to bring that guy in, right? But as long as Kai's doing a job and being able to provide the threat that we need and link and bring others into play, I think he's suitable. I think he's okay. Obviously, we can improve, and I think one day we will. But I think he's doing well, and I think the goal itself, I thought was very brave actually from Havertz. I don't know what you guys think, but yeah, it's a fantastic delivery in from Trossard. He puts it in that area, doesn't it, where it's almost
the corridor of uncertainty, my friend.
That's the word I'm looking for, my friend. Yeah, the corridor of uncertainty. And, Donnarumma is a big goalkeeper. He's a bit of a throwback. You see a lot of goalkeepers like ours, who's a bit smaller, obviously a lot neater on the ball, great with his feet, can pick passes. But Donnarumma is an absolute giant. And if he's coming out to punch the ball away, fair play for Havertz for putting his head potentially where it hurt. He got there first. I just think that overall, mate, first half, I think we could be very happy with that.
Yeah. Now, but what about yourself? Because obviously, like I said, it went from being this PSG are up here to all of a sudden, when we're winning and after when we've beat them, they're that now. So it just, that's it. The mind baffles me, Albert. What did you, obviously, like Ray, go into what you thought as well. But mainly my question would be, what do you think this unfair criticism is? Because to me, like I said before, I think a lot of it is just engagement farming. And they just know. I mean, I'm nibbling now. But do you know what I mean? I think they dangle it out there because they know that it's going to get people to click it and call them you-know-whats, or they ring up whatever channels they're on, or they slag them off on Twitter or TikTok, whatever one they see it on. And what do you make of the whole thing?
Oh, James, how long you do want to do the podcast for, man? I mean, I could tell you quite
as long as you like. Although Ray might have plans,
Ray, let us, you've got any plans, Ray, let me know, man. I'll stop talking, man. But no, it's interesting. I thought about sort of the way Arsenal been viewed about. The way Arsenal have been viewed, in the last 2 years, 3 years, particularly last 18 months. And I had obviously TC on my channel on Sunday morning for the Albert JTV breakfast show. And I posed a question to him. I said, obviously, because you're part of, you're in the journalism sphere, and but also as a fan. And I do find it really, really odd, if I'm going to be honest. Maybe it's my age, I don't know. But and I think we live in a digital age and a social media age where, from a social media point of view, you've got rival fans doing Arsenal content. I'm not even including watch-alongs. I'm talking about specific content. I'm thinking to myself, this is crazy. I can't think of James. I can definitely speak for you, James. Obviously, as we've got channels, but I've got better things to do, irrespective of how good a team are or not, to be doing content specifically about another club. That blows my mind. I don't really understand that. I get it, as you mentioned, from an engagement point of view. And but yeah, it's a bit odd. And you're right about the PSG thing. Listen, they're no choir boys, Yes, they're going through a period of transition. They've got a top-class manager. I mean, I'm looking at the team that started. I mean, Donnarumma's not exactly taking his first steps in football. Hakimi's a fantastic right-back. Had an amazing World Cup for Morocco. you've got Marquinhos, who's been around for about 100 million years. Zaire Emery's a good player. Barcola's really nippy. João Neves. So, listen, they've got some good players there, man. So, I think we mustn't take it for granted, as I mentioned before, about Arsenal being back in the Champions League. We didn't make a knockout stage for quite a number of years, man, for obvious reasons, not being in the competition. But the first half was really, really impressed, man. Really impressed. Playing in Europe, and I think Arteta mentioned this after match, post-match, playing in the Premier League and playing in Europe is completely chalk and cheese. Because let's be honest, as good as Arsenal are, particularly away from home, as has been spoken about with Saka, Captain Saka, love that kid, man. There's times in Europe you will not have possession of the ball, and you have to be patient. And you saw that particularly in the second half. But the first half was brilliant. If I'm going to be really honest, in my own humble opinion, there were a number of positives. Glad to see the battle between Hakimi and Martinelli, because you don't get many better right backs than him in world football. If you can name me some, chuck them in the chat or tell me right now, Ray or James. But Trossard was very good. He actually could have gone down for the goal. And funny enough, Ray mentioned about the cross, because I think he's in the first 10 minutes. Saka's put it across from his side of the pitch. But the way you put it in, if you're going to put crosses in, it has got to be on the money. And then subsequently, 10 minutes later, Trossard gets into a great position in the final third, kind of attacking. Fantastic ball in. It's in that corridor of uncertainty. People talk about Donnarumma and his positioning, but you put the cross in the right area. And Havertz has obviously got good ability in the air. And Bob Zhiranko will go 1-0 up. It's a brilliant goal. Brilliant, brilliant goal. And as for the second one, I know Saka talks about, he did actually say he kind of meant to hit it like the way he hit it. And who am I to disbelieve Bukayo Saka, Captain Saka? But yeah, listen, there's some really good positives, particularly in the first half. And the season's a long time in football. And listen, the second half was what it was. And I expected it to be like that, to be honest with you, because they got to come out a little bit better and PSG got to come on the front foot and try and rescue something. But go on, Melvin. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. And listen, I know PSG spoke about, they somehow know a lot about our free kicks and getting into the final third. But listen, Arsenal, it's become a very potent weapon, our set pieces. But yeah, there's a lot of positives in the first half. But as you mentioned, your initial question, it will continue to happen. The narratives and the goalposts will continuously change. If we'd have lost on Tuesday night, you know what would happen. Even going back to the Leicester game, big up Nicolau, man. Let's write our own narratives. She said it, and she's right. We have to do that.
Yeah, it's funny because I was gonna mention Sophie, funny enough, because I remember literally straight after the Euros final, and she mentioned about what happened with Saka. Didn't obviously give it the parallels to what happened with Beckham in 98, because it's a completely different kettle of fish. And she said that Bukayo Saka from this will become like how David Beckham had the 99 season and basically went from strength to strength as a footballer and as a person. And now I don't know if Bukayo Saka will win a treble. I'll be over the bloody moon. I think we all will if he does, especially this year, considering who won the treble just a few seasons ago that are a bit annoying. You know, that'll make them back in their box a bit. And I said the other day when I saw the corner that Trossard scored from against Leicester, and I went, this guy's delivery is to me becoming a David Beckham level. And I don't think I think someone on Match of the Day the other day shouted it out. I can't remember which one it was. And they said, like, this is getting a ridiculous level. You know, a few seasons ago, James Ward-Prowse was getting the comparison because he was hitting the free kicks and scoring them directly. Well, he's done that now. Whether it was a great, you know, it bobbled in front of him or whatever, goal's a goal. It went in the net. You can't take it away from him. You know, first one that we've scored, what, in 3 years directly since Odegaard's against Burnley away in the Amazon season. So I can't knock that at all. And like what Melvin put there, if we're in their heads and the panic sets in and it's not even a cross, it's because it's being hit. That just goes and shows a strength to me that's a very, very, you know, good weapon. And I can understand that people say, oh, this is boring, or the football that you're doing or what have you. But I watch a lot of fighting, whether it be boxing or whether it be UFC. And there's certain people that are like, I've got one way I throw a kick. I've got one way I throw this punch. And they use it. So for me, if we've got one facet to a game that an opponent cannot handle or cannot deal with, why not use it time and time again? I don't care.
Yeah, and Jane, it's funny that people are trying to paint that narrative about Arsenal sort of being, they didn't say the word, I'm saying it now, sort in terms of long ball merchants, but with the greatest of respect, if you watch that first half against PSG, we play some bloody good stuff, man, to be fair. And I'm not being funny as well, on top of that, Arsenal, and most definitely under probably Wenger. And what I liked, and I should probably going back to last season as well, that Arsenal are now capable, looking at the playing staff of the team, to go a bit more direct. That never happened before. That had not happened for years. If you want to tell me when it did happen, then tell me now, or when you watch it back on, yeah, or listen to it on audio.
I mean, because, we weren't on, even, yeah, doing it when Kanu was there, man.
Yeah. Kanu
was bigger than Havertz, weren't he? But we weren't pinging it under Kanu, really.
But yeah, Havertz gives us that option to go more direct. We got players that can play on the deck, and you know, the speed of Martinelli and the trickery of Saka and the pace of Saka. But I think that's one thing we can play really good football, as you saw in the first half. And even in the second half, if that goal had gone in, I think it was Saka, Trossard, Havertz and Martinelli at the volley. Is that boring football? Because it's not where I was looking from. One touch, two touch football. The great Spanish sides and the club sides that were trademarking doing that. So I do find it quite funny that some fans are trying to find we're a bit of a launch it team. No, there's many different ways to skin a cat. And Arsenal can go direct and they can keep the ball on the deck as well. So that's what I have to say to that. But quickly, James, about Saka. I know... the whole kind of world-class talk with him, right? I don't really think that even really started with Arsenal fans, really. I think it's more kind of... It was kind of put out there with the socials in terms of like your BBC Sports or your TNTs to say he's obviously performing at a level that you want to have that conversation. I just think it irks rival fans that he's in that class. Domestically or internationally, I'm beginning to struggle to see what the disagreement would be. Oh, he has to win things. Okay. Oh, he has to play in the Champions League. He has to do this. He has to do that. His assist record and goals record is second to none. He's even started the season brilliantly, to be honest with you. I think he's got the... I don't know if that assist will count for him in terms of... I think, is it the Leicester game, was it? Because I think he's got six...
Yeah, no, I got taken off him. I got him in fantasy as well. So I was
gonna, yeah. But yeah, and just to finish up quickly, I think with Saka, I mentioned this to... I think I mentioned it to Sophie and Tom on the first game of the season when Saka got... I think Saka got taken off in that game. I'm sure he did. And he's walking off the pitch. And I was just sitting there, like, sort of watching him, thinking... I can't recall in my lifetime having a love for a football that I have for him. And I'm talking about as a human being, as well as his ability on the pitch. I can't recall a player that I felt like that about in an Arsenal shirt. I'd have to go back probably to the late 80s, early 90s. And I think with rival fans as well, I think Carragher mentioned it on CBS, it's very difficult to dislike this guy. He's incredible, absolute credit. And when you got TT saying when you're coming around for tea, basically to him, what can you say?
Yeah, I mean he's welcome around mine for dinner any night. I'm a huge Bukayo Saka fan, man, and I agree with you. I think in terms of rival fans, I think it's like Ian Wright back in the day, man. Just begrudgingly, you've got to go. How can you hate this guy?
Yeah,
like, James,
I know Erdegaard's injured, but I said this. I think I said this to Kenny Ken. I think it might not be a big thing to a lot of people. I don't know if you guys agree or not, but giving him the captaincy, smart thing to do, 100 million percent.
Yeah, 100%.
Million 100%. Percent. He's a senior player. He's been the talisman for four or five years. He's our most important player, in my opinion. And to give him the captaincy, leadership, and smart move. Brilliant move.
Yeah. And you consider the other players that are in that, that were in that starting 11.
Yeah.
You have a guy, you had a guy there who, okay, like I've mentioned before, might be the Johnston's Paint Trophy of Europe, but he still won a European trophy. He captained his side to a European trophy, yet Bukayo Saka got chosen, which, again, I'm with you, rightfully so. But, you know, if Declan Rice was the captain for that game, I don't think many people would be like, well, that's out of sorts, you know. He's done it before. So, yeah, I think, no, Saka was a great choice. But, Ray, just going back to you, obviously, before we move it on here, you said about the Havertz goal and how it was brave and everything. 100% agree with you. But what I really liked as well is Alan Shearer was actually on the comms. And I know Alan Shearer can be, you know, he's a polarising figure, especially with Arsenal fans in terms of what he is as a pundit and even as a commentator. But the thing that stood out for me was Alan Shearer went, that's a brilliant header. And to have Alan Shearer, who for me, I think's the, in my lifetime of what I've seen, next to maybe Ronaldo just on the leaping ability, but in terms of someone heading the ball, I think Alan Shearer is the best I've seen. So for him to say that that's a brilliant header, I think people need to recognise, like you said as well, Albert, people going on about Donnarumma's positioning. I think that's a brilliant header because the way he's coming out with his hands, he's knocking his block off if it goes wrong. So and I don't think there's many players in that Arsenal team that are brave enough to do it. I think he's one of the only ones that genuinely would be like, I could get absolutely smullered here. But Champions League night, I scored in the final. I know what it's like. Big game. I'm a big game player. He is a big game player, Kai Havertz.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I've been really pleasantly surprised with Havertz's physicality, I guess. Because I thought he was always a techie player, but obviously at Chelsea, they just completely mismanaged him and misused him for most of his time there.
Doesn't sound like Chelsea.
Oh, it doesn't sound like Chelsea at all, does it? But I mean, yeah, the fact that we've been able to take him and we've said, okay, you know, you are this big, tall striker that we've got up front. You can, you know, play, but what else can you do? And he's been able to fulfill that side of it, you know, the holding the ball up. I know you guys mentioned some of the tall strikers we had earlier. I think probably the most recent example was probably Giroud, wasn't it, in terms of a tall striker that could head the ball for Arsenal and hold it up. But yeah, I mean, I think he's becoming a very, very important player for Arsenal. And when he's not in our sides, we just look a completely different team almost. I mean, it's got to the point now where I still do think there's a player in Jesus, but if we're choosing our teams, I think most fans, maybe you guys as well, but me certainly, I'm picking Havertz to start out of the options we've got, based on how he is as a player, what his output has been since he's been here, and just overall the effect he has on the team. Because I just think that there's no other player in our squad currently that can do that or does what Kai Havertz does. I think he's so important for us at the moment.
Yeah. And just quickly, because I always do these graphics and what have you. So for me, he was my man of the match for the other night against PSG. But you got any arguments for anybody else?
Oh, that was some good. Thomas Partey was good. And actually, he didn't give the ball away as well. But Trossard was really good. But you know what? I would give it. I agree with you, James. I would give it to Havertz. And touching on what Ray was saying, he's become very, very important. I mean, Giroud would have loved to play in this side because even though he played for us, we did not get crosses into the box.
No.
Absolutely did not play to strength. So with Kai, Ray, you're right. You make a good point in terms of he's a tall guy. But in terms of is the physicality there, absolutely he's shown he can do that. He was a Trojan against Tottenham away. Brilliant performance. I see Melvin's put in the chat Timber. Big up Timber. I shared that on my Instagram.
Timber. Yeah,
that tackle when Barcola was coming into the box, and tough decision to make, but to win that ball back and then put us on the sort of the offensive, brilliant. So yeah, love Timber as well.
Yeah, I was literally, Melvin is a mind reader. I'm convinced. I was literally just about to go to you first, Albert, because obviously you Ray, were you there? Sorry, I didn't ask.
I wasn't. No.
Okay. No. Okay. I'll go to Albert first and then come to you after. Albert, I didn't go last season, even though he only played one game, unfortunately. And I haven't been this season yet. I'm always available to go. If there's tickets, you know, shout out anybody who's got them, let me know. I will take them off your hands. But watching this guy, just even on a screen, week by week. Now, I've mentioned this before, and I mentioned it again as well. I am an incredibly heterosexual man. However, I am developing a man. Loads of men are getting it for Calafiori. Mate, the guy on the right hand side. In this game, he took it out of our box, beat three men, and was on this run. And I can't remember what guy it was for PSG, but he yanked him back. But the way that he spun the three men was just insane. I was like, bloody hell, these people have got families, Julian. Like, this is disgusting behavior. I'm loving it, but it was like he's taking people's souls. And when he was on that run, I was convinced. I was like, he's going to get to the byline, whipping across again, and someone's going to score because they're not going to catch it. I haven't seen, funny enough, it was another Dutch player, but I haven't seen someone with the ball at his feet running like that since Mark Overmars, in terms of he's going to do every single one of you and you can't get him. I always used to know, when I was a kid, like Mark Overmars for me, as soon as he got it, I was like, you're done. Your fullback's done. Everything. Because it's that initial, it's that first 5 steps, that first 5 yards, what they do. And it's like he just eats ground like it's nothing. I know that they'd say about Havertz and the tall players and like Haaland, but this guy, is this, how good is he, Albert, live? That's the main, I'm glazing about all sorts of randomness. Because like I said, the man crush takes over, but how good is he in the flesh, mate?
The funny thing is, I'm glad you asked about Timber, because he got a lot of flowers against Tottenham, and rightly so. But I said on my channel, I actually clipped it at the time when we played Villa away. If you watch him, when you buy defenders, right, first primary job, want them to defend. Yes, if their ball playing ability, fantastic. But if you watch him positionally in our defensive third, or in defensive positions, or in the cover, he's absolutely superb. And I'm surprised a lot of people didn't really pick that up against Villa, because I thought he was brilliant. And I, for that particular aspect, James. And what I liked, going back to sort of talking the Villa game, so before I sort of move fast forward, is he sort of, I always said with Chitinchenko, you've got to know when to cheat, when to invert, and when to sort of, you know, get into the final third sort of thing. But I think Timber's brilliant at doing that. If he has to tuck in, he tucks in. If he stays in a four, as in terms of your flat back four and not inverting, he can do that. He's good going forward. His link-up play, even in his short early days with Saka, has been really, really good. I think he got an assist for the goal on Saturday. Was it Declan Rice's goal against Leicester? He's been brilliant. He's been absolutely brilliant. And like I said, the key word I use is defensively, and his positioning is excellent. Even if you just watch him alone, just for that in particular, you'll see the incremental changes of what he's brought to Arsenal's defensive unit. Listen, no writing off Ben White. Ben White's been brilliant. If there's a small chance Timber's not 100% ready for Saturday, then you don't risk it. And I think Arteta probably knows that. He's come back from a serious injury. Yes, he's integral to the team, the way we play, but we will see if he starts. But he's been excellent. Like I said, that piece of defending against PSG in the first half, when Barcola is really quick and really lively, not only to stop him, but to win the ball back and then to turn us onto the transition and get us up further up the pitch, was superb. I had to watch it two or three times again today. I was thinking, that is our right back, boys. Timber! That's our right back, man. But listen, him and Partey in particular, sorry, in terms of high risk, we've got to be careful with them. I know Mikel and they've got the experts there in terms of the physio side of it. So Yeah, Timber's been brilliant, man. Like I said, positionally, you watch him, excellent. Tottenham, Villa away the other night on Tuesday night against PSG. And there's going to be more to come.
Yeah, and Ray, just quick as well. I mean, Albert makes a great point there. There's some of the games that we've had to play this season have unfortunately become defensive games just through either people being suspended for things that we've debated before. And, you know, and the game state unfortunately dictates that, you know, you can't be as attacking as you want to be. I mean, in Man City, in that second half for me, him and Havertz, I thought, were the main two that were trying to win it high. I thought the effort that them two put in was absolutely mental. They just kept running and running and running. And Timber, for me, shown his defensive work. And then on Saturday, you see him against Leicester, what he can do on an offensive level. And I think you saw it again here on Tuesday. And this is why this injury now, obviously, Netherlands didn't pick him. And we'll go into the squad for Saturday a bit later, you know, when we move on a bit later. But this injury, if it's, you know, I don't know if it's a really bad one because they said he felt something and we didn't want to take the risk. But
yeah,
how bad is this for you now with him not being here? Because I do think it's a big miss.
Yeah, I mean, as Albert touched on there, he's been massive for us since he's come back this season. And it's so refreshing to see because we obviously had such big hopes from last season. And I think we really missed him. It's easy to say now, isn't it? But in hindsight, based on the performances so far, I can certainly think of a few games that we dropped points in that he would have been really beneficial to us. But yeah, I don't know how bad the injury is. I have to be honest with you. But what I do like is that they are at least managing it, even though he's a class player. And I know the Netherlands have a lot of great players, especially at the back. At least, you know, he's not just going and then they're just going to use him regardless. And then if he gets injured, oh, you know, that's a shame kind of thing. At least there seems to be some sort of dialogue or some sort of understanding with the club and the country. And we're going to try and get this player back up and running long term, because as long as, you know, if he's back up and running for us, he'll be a back up and running for the Netherlands as well. So it is a mutually beneficial thing. And I know they are a smaller nation in terms of size, but they have got a lot of quality at the back. So maybe that works in our favour as well. But yeah, just as long as we can rest him easy and he can come back whenever he's available, that's great. And I think we've got a lot of strength and depth in our back line now. So although, you know, we want to play Timber every game, and again, probably jumping the gun a little bit, but with Southampton in mind, maybe it's a game that we can afford to make a change or two. And listen, I don't know how bad the injury to Ben White is. Does any of you boys know? Is it?
I know with Timber, it's a muscular injury, isn't it? Ben White, I'd have thought probably on maybe potentially on the horizon of maybe starting, but again, I don't know how serious his injury really is. I mean, is it a groin injury? Did they say it was a groin injury? They say it was for
Albert. It went from initially it was his knee,
yeah.
Then it was his thigh,
yeah.
Now it's his groin. I'm like, yeah. Well, hang on a second. Has he had three injuries? Is this why he's unavailable? Because he's had three different ones.
I don't know, I'd have to speak to some people, but it seems to be quite, I don't know how you guys find it, when we sort of hear injury news on the eve of games, I don't know if it's a deliberate probe, but it's very cloak and dagger, you don't really, it's very hard to know when they're coming back or if they're available. It's very kind of hush-hush until probably maybe on the day of the game, you'll say, you know what, he's not playing, or he's available. You literally don't know. I don't know how you feel, but I always get that impression.
Yeah. But because people go, oh, it's mind games, isn't it? And I'm like, no, I don't want to diminish or disrespect anybody if I can. But I'm like, are we really playing mind games with Southampton? This is a guy who, if they lose at the weekend, which, you know, I think they will, this manager's potentially getting the sack. I'm like, are we really playing mind games with a guy that's probably going to get the sack? Like, I mean, if we are, but I can't. I think that's a bit too much of a stretch for me.
Are they talking about Russell Martin's job, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, he's with Lucy Pinder. So if I got sacked and had Lucy Pinder to go home with, yes. Mate, sack me and I'll have the compensation, man, because I'll just keep taking her out, mate.
Russell Martin.
That is an absolute throwback from about 12 years ago.
And you know what? I saw a picture of her the other day with him. She still holds up. So I was like, fair play.
Russell Martin.
Enough. Yeah. Yeah.
Go on, Ross.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we've got the squad now. That's basically what I'm saying is we've got the squad now to cope. So even if Timber can't play for us at the weekend, I do think we'll be able to find a solution. I'm just hoping it's not going to be Thomas Partey at right back like we saw at times last season, because I don't think that really worked for us. But listen, I trust in Mikel and the coaching staff, and I'm sure that he'll come up with something at least that will get us over the line.
Yeah, and you mentioned Thomas Partey there, Ray. I think Albert might have stepped away for a second, so I won't obviously throw it to him because I don't think he's there.
I hope he's not searching Lucy Pinder.
So do I. So yeah, Albert mentioned it earlier and I know you did as well, but Thomas Partey the other night, me and Melvin, obviously, we have conversations and we say about Thomas Partey that when this guy's in full flow, I struggle to find people that I enjoy watching play more than him when he's on song, because of just everything that he does. And you know what? That 64 minutes that Thomas Partey put in the other night, I think that's the best performance I've seen him have in years for me. I mean, 33 touches of the ball. He made 93% of all of his passes. You mentioned it earlier, Albert, as well. Wasn't dribbled past at all. And this is a guy who I think athleticism-wise, I question a lot. But yeah, he had three young guns. Yeah, he had three young guns in that midfield. And they had, like you said, tricky wingers. I mean, that Nuno Mendes was who stood out for me for them. I was like, oh, do you know what? You're quite tasty at left back, mate. You're not too bad. I know that we've got a defender fetish and we buy loads of them. So I was like, I'd have a bit of you. I thought he looked like a really good player. And yeah, I just, Ray, Thomas Partey, especially on Tuesday night. And I called for Jorginho to play this game because I thought he can't do three in a week. Thomas Partey, I don't know if he can hold up, but I've completely changed my mind. I think he's got to start Saturday now just for how well he did in that 64 minutes on Tuesday. What about yourself?
Sorry, is that to me, James?
Yeah.
So, with Thomas Partey, I think he's... when Thomas Partey is on form for us, I think he's easily one of our best players. He's so crucial to what we do, has been for years. It's just we haven't seen enough of him. That's the biggest criticism I've got. But, I think with Thomas Partey, we just need to try and manage him. Again, I don't want to just say rotate the whole team because it is Southampton. The last time we played them, they did give us a sting in the tail, didn't they? So we should be respectful. It is the Premier League, but I do think we just need to try and manage the squad as best as we can. Like you, I would start him, but I don't know if I'd give him the full game. I think I'd give him an hour or so, depending on the game state, obviously. And maybe put Jorginho in. But we've got a lot of options. This is the thing. Potentially, we could put Declan Rice in there. We've got, obviously, Mikel Moreno coming back now. He played a little bit. So maybe he could come in midfield and do a job there. I've only seen Mikel Moreno in sort of bits and bobs, really. I haven't really seen a full 90 minutes of him ever really. So I don't know if he is that sort of defensive or six type player, or whether he is more sort of box to box eight. But I think we've got plenty of options. I trust what Mikel Arteta and his staff will do. It's just about keeping the boys fit. So if we have to make a few changes and potentially ask Thomas Partey to sit on the bench and keep warm, then I'm fine with that.
Yeah, Albert, what about yourself? Obviously, like you said, you were there. Thomas Partey on Tuesday night, man. How good was it?
No, he was. He's really good. Because usually there's always a point when he plays where he gives the ball away stupidly. He just has that in his DNA. I don't know why, but he just does. But I can't fault him for having that lapse. Really, I thought he was really, really good. He made a good point about athleticism. I think I saw a tweet. It was I can't remember what it was. I think it might have been LeGrove, but in terms of the athleticism side of it, or it's a straight shootout between more or less Partey and Moreno. That's the way it's going to come down to. I'll take Ray's point in terms of we've got to manage him because we do. He's high risk, isn't he? I mean, the good thing with him is he had a preseason. There was no major tournament that he was involved in. He obviously played the back end of last season. But I think of him, good shout, Finland. Fair play, man. But yeah, I think with Thomas Partey, I think when Moreno obviously plays a few more games and adapts a bit more, I think you'll probably see more a case of Partey not starting games as opposed to starting games, should I say. But listen, Moreno's obviously got a bit more work to do, but in terms of his position in the side, definitely that sort of left eight position. Insane passing ability, by the way, Mikel Moreno, trust me. So once he gets embedded into an Arsenal shirt, you will absolutely see the full benefits of him and obviously a fit Martin Odegaard to come by. But you know what it is, Ray and James, to finish up with that, I think even if you sort of look long-term, Jorginho's here for another season. Thomas Partey, I don't think there's a lot more years left on his contract from what I kind of see. It'll be a case of Mikel will be thinking already and the guys in terms of looking to see who's going to be coming in, because that's how we have to look at it. Because yes, we've got the depth and we're talking about this season, but I think for an athleticism point of view of Partey, touch on that quickly, and it's not a criticism, James, because the thing is, when you have the amount of injuries that he's had, I don't know too many footballers that will come back to first team football and be as sharp as you was when you didn't have injuries. It's just not going to happen. The body doesn't work like that. So if people are going to pick up on that, which is fine, by the way, it's not a criticism, he's not going to be as athletic as he was 3-4 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it is. So, but again, it's how you manage him, who you're pairing with, i.e. Declan. I thought Declan, to me, I would like just a quick shout. Back to kind of what we've brought him for, what we used to sing with him.
100% agree.
Yeah. he was really good, man, Declan. So Thomas Partey, I think, listen, he's been excellent so far this season. But don't be surprised through the course of the season if you see him sort of bench him a little bit more, because we didn't buy Mikel Moreno to sit on the bench. He's bought for a reason. So he'll come good, trust me. But listen. Am I pleased with what I've seen already? Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, Moreno, for me, the main thing that stood out when he come on, like you said, obviously the passing, but just again, I know he's 6'2", but when you actually saw it, it was just like, your presence again. I'm like, we got another big guy. This is a big guy. Like, it's a man. This is a grown man in this side. And you know what? I've not seen a player that, when they kept panning to him when he was in the sling for the last couple of games, I was like, this guy's pissed off, because he's like, I can be out there. I can sort this out. Like, when things weren't going right, you could see him watching it with his eyes like, I can sort this out. Like, for God's sake, like, why get this sling off me and let me out to, you know, sort all this mess and everything. And yeah, I can't wait to see more of him. He's definitely going to have some more minutes at the weekend, 100%. Mm-hmm. But another person I just want to shout out quick, and I think it's a guy that has come into some, you know, I wouldn't say abuse, but some negative comments just before how he played against Bayern Munich and how Leroy Sané ruined him. Well, for me, Leroy Sané pretty much ruins most fullbacks in Europe, let alone this guy. But Jakub Kivior, Ray, I'll go to you first and then Albert afterwards. But this guy comes on, he makes two clearances, two interceptions, two tackles, won both his duels, and again, wasn't dribbled past. So,
yeah,
amazing for me. And I think it's so refreshing that we have a squad player here that just, you know, A Ginster's pasty is called good, honest food, isn't it? That's the tagline for a Ginster's pasty, right? For me, Jacob Kivior is good, honest food. He just comes, you know, Ron Seale does what he says on the tin. I will, like Elneny used to. He might not be the most amazing player in the world, but you chuck him on, I do my job, and I'll do my job well for you and for the team. That's what I like. I like players like Kivior, man. What did you think about Kivior's performance? Because I had to shout him out. I thought he did really well when he came on.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think he was solid, to be fair. I think he's really improved. I know when he first joined from Spezia in Italy, he was a little bit all over the place, wasn't he? All I can think of is Ginsters now and pasties and how I'm meant to sort of compare him to a good
if,
honest
if you've not
food,
had your but... dinner, apologies, man. I know.
but yeah, he was solid. I mean, even, and I know it's Bolton and people will be saying, you know, they're in League One or whatever, but I thought he was really, he looks really accomplished in that as well. And yeah, I mean, like you say, it's great that we've got a squad now, especially in defence, because you think of the defenders we've had in the last 10, 15 years. And it's just been a mishmash of just anyone who has once played defence in some sort of professional setup being qualified to go in there and give it a go. You know, we've had all sorts. So now that we've actually got a set of defenders that are all internationals, that can all come in, all plug in and play and do jobs, and they can all, you know, other than Gabriel and Saliba, they can all play either at full back or in the middle. And they all seem very tactically switched on as well. That's crucial, because what we're trying to do with the set pieces, obviously we do require a lot of big lads in there to put themselves about a bit. And they look like they can take them instructions on board, hence why we're doing as well as we're doing. And like you say, James, it's just refreshing that when we bring on a player these days, or bring off a player, sorry, we can bring on the likes of Kivior. And we know he can do a suitable job, because, you know, it was only a few seasons ago, wasn't it? It was Cedric coming on, for example, or players like this. So, yeah, I'm really happy with him. I don't know if he's going to be here long, long term, but I think, you know, certainly as a squad player to try and push for the league, and who knows, to try and go as far as we can in the Champions League, I think he's more than suitable for the Arsenal.
Nice. And Albert, old Ginsters Kivior, what do you think? What did you make of him?
Yeah, when he came on, he was a bit shaky, man. A few balls out of play, misplaced passes, but he kind of grew into it. And I guess you would kind of grow into it a bit more when you've got the defence that you've got around you, and you've got a fantastic goalkeeper behind you as well. So he grew into the game, and he got better, actually, to be fair to him. Because you've got to remember, he's not playing a lot of football. He hasn't for Arsenal. So to come in, obviously we moved Calafiori to right back, with Timber coming off. But yeah, it started off very shaky, to be fair, from what I could see. But like I said, he grew into the game, and I actually expected probably him or Zinchenko not to be here in the summer. I thought it was either one or the other, but we've kept him. As Ray's mentioned, defensively, I'd say George Graham would be proud of some of them defenders we've got right now, I'll tell you that. But yeah, listen, he grew into it. And listen, we might need him, because Tomiyasu is not fully recovered. Obviously, we've got some issues with Ben White still. We're not too sure about Yuen Timber starting on Saturday. So we're gonna need these guys to maintain, as I called it, the great movie, the great wall of Arsenal.
Yes, I love it. That's spot on. But yeah, just and then the last shout out for a player, and I know he didn't play a lot of minutes, but I loved seeing the video. I mean, first of all, get this guy's mum better seats, Arsenal. Why are you making it? Why is she in the gods? How dare you? How dare you make this woman sit in the gods? Maybe she wanted to. I don't know. Maybe it was her choice. But Miles Lewis-Skelly, I love that video, man, because this guy's mum, to do what she does in that space is remarkable, because sadly, I've got to say it. She's a woman going into that male-dominated space and holding her own. But also, she's a black woman doing it. So the kudos that I give this woman is unbelievable. And do you know what? I've seen comments galore from people that have young players that are trying to develop into the game that have said that his mum and that the agency, whatever, that she's a part of, is a godsend. They're like, she is done so, so much. So, yeah, just seeing her beam watching Lewis Skelly come on. And he's a guy for me. He's going to be a player, Lewis Skelly. I think we all can see that he's going to be a player, because Mikel Arteta, if he can trust you off the ball as much as he can trust you on it, then you get in. And I think there's been glimpses with Nanweri this season, you know, that against Leicester where he made that crunching tackle right at the end. I'm like, he's going to love you. He won't remember that run and that shot. He's going to remember that tackle. That's what Arteta's going to remember.
No, it's a good shot, James, man, because I think fans of other football clubs will do it, right? Well, I don't think I'd do it personally, but the whole bringing world class, you've got to be world class, we've got to bring in the best. I said, look, you have to, I understand you want to improve your first 11, your first 13, 14 players that are going to regularly play. And I understand you want to get, you know, you want to, you know, make your squads bigger and world class here, world class there. Realistically, you can't always do that. Or you can't do that because you're coming up against other superpowers in terms of other clubs. But even with other clubs, there has to be that balance. And I said this to a couple of Arsenal fans. Said, oh, yeah, but we need to get ready made. And I said, no, I understand what you're saying. But if you look at other clubs, you have to bring some of the young players in for a plethora of different reasons. You know, Liverpool, Jamal Kwanzaa, Harvey Elliott. There's a few others. What's I going to say now? What club was I going to talk about now? It's gone out of my head now. Obviously, Ajax. Arsenal. No, it's in the Premier League. But Foden, Rico Lewis, for example. Like, you have to have that, but you have to bring in somebody. And if you think they're good enough, they will pick them and play them. They will. And I think with Arsenal this season, yes, I'm not talking about us having the class of 92 that Manchester United had, but you've got to bring through a couple. Even from a quids in point of view, going down the line when you bring a lot of money. But so Wanneri and Lewis Skelly, for me, it looks like those two are the ones that are going to slowly, slightly get some more first team minutes. I mean, when Wanneri came on the other day against Leicester, he gave us that spark that I don't think many teams have box office players that can come in and do what he did. Obviously got the goals against Bolton in the week. Big up to Lewis Skelly. I thought he was excellent against Bolton. I don't care if it's League One. Don't care. These guys need to get first team football and regular minutes. And Mikel Arteta obviously feels, probably particularly with Wanneri, they're ready. But he's going to manage them. But they're ready. So yeah, big up James for mentioning Lewis Skelly, man. 100%.
And you Ray, I mean, what do you make of all the, well, like Albert said, there's two main young players, but then obviously, you know, we've had before this, Arteta doesn't like young players. He never brings any of the young players, but he gave five their debut against Bolton.
Yeah. Yeah. And 100%, I think Albert covered a lot of it there, to be fair, with it. You know, there's so many reasons we need to bring the young players through. But I mean, as supporters, young players and players through our academy and through Hale End, they're the players that we can really get behind. Well, we have to get behind all our players, obviously, but those are the players in particular that we really do get behind, because we sort of know and see how they're coached, and we know their backstory, and we know what they're all about. And the young players in the academy are the lifeblood of every team, other than Brentford, who just don't have one. Youth academy, but they're so important to what we do, and when you see, you know, the images of Lewis Skelly's mum in the crowd and her reaction to her son coming on, it's just so brilliant to see. Again, you know, we've won the game, and it's all, you know, in a great sort of context, but we had the documentary with the Harlem Boys and Lewis Skelly and Ethan Wanyeri. They featured quite heavily in that. And you see, you know, them playing against, you know, these boys from other academies and everything else and what they have to do to get to where they're getting to. So it's so crucial to have these players that we can get behind. And then, like you say, we need to not only get them and bring them in. And by the way, when a Premier League team can get a player and put them in the academy and then put them in the first team and play them in the Premier League, that is a success. That is an absolute success. Whether they play 1 minute or whatever, that's a success. And yeah, I mean, it's crucial. If we're going to try and develop and get better at selling and all of this as well, we need to have a youth academy that other clubs and other people can see and we will attract interest. So yeah, I think Arteta would always play young players as long as they're good enough. You know, obviously Saka's the shining light, but I think Ethan and Miles Lewis-Skelly, I think they could be as well. Obviously, when we played Bolton, we had to play a lot of those players, didn't we? But yeah, in terms of Ethan and Miles Lewis-Skelly, yeah, future's looking bright for us, I think.
Yeah, 100%. And just before we wrap up quickly, I just want to touch on something. And funny enough, this shirt behind me, I saw a man playing this shirt behind me that's arguably one of the greatest players, not just in Arsenal history, but in world football history. But he made a polarising comment about a former manager of ours. I'm talking about Thierry Henry,
where
he spoke about Unai Emery this week. And I'll go to you first, Ray, and then Albert after. But for me, the revisionism on Unai Emery's reign at Arsenal, I don't understand how people can't just go, it weren't a good fit. If you really look at it, we had a fractured board. We had a lot of overly egotistical players that were like, I'm going to last here longer than you're going to last here. So don't tell me what to do. You know, Bellerin come out and said they're doing impressions of him behind his back, you know, taking the mickey out of, you know, the good evening and all that. The players don't really respect the guy. So I don't know. I looked at today just some of the things that were coming under the, someone else shared a picture of Henri with the article, like the comments that he made and an article about it. And I remember Frankfurt at home, and this was before lockdown, and it was empty. It was empty because the football that we were playing, I remember we played Leicester away and lost, and it was chucking down with rain. And I went, sack him now, because we've got an international break that was coming up.
Remember.
And
yeah,
I was like, sack him now, get a new manager in that could bed his ideas in the international break, because this guy's not coming back. And yet they kept him. And then they done it, which I thought was out of, I was like, you should have, because he knew then that Leicester game, he was done. You could see in his face, he was like, this is done.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for, you know, he's never slagged us off. I think he appreciates the fact that he was an Arsenal manager. And to me, I just, you can admit when things weren't a good fit, you know, me and my ex-girlfriend, we weren't a good fit. Just that's how it goes. You know, get over it. You know, I'm over it. She's over it. But yeah,
Sir lost, mate.
Well, yes, she doesn't listen, so yeah, it was, 100%, mate. her dad might, but you know, he might agree with me, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, I just can't just see a guy that's doing well at another club, just go on about that. I don't understand why it's got to be brought back towards us, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think two things can be true. I think Unai Emery can be a good manager, a great manager. And I can also think that he wasn't a good manager for us. Again, maybe it might be right man, wrong time. The structure was completely different. And listen, you know, whatever you think about the Cronkies, Arteta has always been their guy. I mean, even before we got Emery, we were linked to getting Arteta. And they didn't do it because of him being too inexperienced. They wanted to go with the more experienced man, so they hired Unai Emery. And yeah, James, I can remember. I mean, we had some great times under Unai Emery in terms of results. I can think of Fulham game. I can think of the North London Derby, the 4-2. I can think of the run up until Baku in the Europa League final.
Don't remind us.
Let's leave it at that. But there were some car crashes. The final, the game that you mentioned, James. Do you remember the Watford game where we were 2-0 up at
Oh my
halftime and
God.
then, for
Yeah.
whatever reason, told them just stop playing football and they, you know,
Palace at home.
Palace at home. So they just rolled off the tongue, didn't they? But yeah, there's just so many examples, and unfortunately for Unai, it just didn't work. I know there was a lot of players that he wanted to bring in that we didn't get. I know he wanted Zaha, and we got Pepe. I think he wanted Harry Maguire, so maybe his judgment
Yeah, he
wasn't
wanted Ryan Frazier and Harry Maguire, so
Harry Maguire.
that
So
would have been a different answer.
yeah, and Stephen Nzonzi, I think he wanted as well.
Yeah. So maybe, but again, you know, everything is set up for Aston Villa, and it's working for him. I know there's a director of football that I think used to work at Sevilla and all these other clubs that he's been at,
Monchi.
Monchi. Yeah. So again, everything is geared up to Unai Emery and him to have success. And good luck to him. As, you know, as long as he doesn't beat us twice a season and get in our way, then I wish him the very best of luck. But other than that, you know, it is what it is. I think, going back to your question right at the start of the pod, mate, I think Arsenal's a bit of a lightning board for criticism and clicks, isn't it? And I think, just, you know, obviously Henri is one of our biggest legends ever, and yeah, he can have the opinion, but I think it would just always get attention in that respect because of Unai, what he's doing now. But like I say, unless you physically transform or pick up everything, including owners, staff, environment, everything, and move it, then you know we're talking about a fantasy world. And like I say, I feel like we're doing quite well with our manager at the moment.
But what about yourself? I know, like I said, Thierry Henry, obviously such a polarizing figure, especially when he talks about the Arsenal. Do you agree with obviously what Hantumi put? I hope I've got that right. He said, you know, he's there to create a talking point. I don't know. I think when he talks about Arsenal, he's not doing something to, like I said earlier, for engagement farming. I think he's, you know, he talks from the heart because, like he mentioned, when he come back, I didn't just score that goal as a player, I scored that goal as a fan. I think, you know, he cares, and I don't know. What did you make of it all?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, when I hear ex-players, I know obviously Henry played for us and one of the best ever, you know what I mean? But it's like, yeah, he can say that, but we're never really gonna know, are we? Let's be honest. So it's the unwritten kind of questions. Like, well, yeah, it's one thing saying it, but that's not the case, is it? You know, we've got our manager we have now. He's been here for, this is, what's the Arteta's fourth season now? So yeah, I don't really pay too much attention to it, because you know what, to be honest with you, there's people out there that will make more of it just because they've got nothing better to do. There's so many media organizations out there where they have ex-professionals come on there. If you're going to talk about somebody that's not an actual footballer or maybe an owner, the only one I can think of top of my head is probably Simon Jordan. He says a lot of things. So it says a lot of hot topic things, shall I say, to put it politely. But it's the world we live in now, man. I mean, some of the takes.
Kenny Ken's favorite, Simon Jordan.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, some of the things I hear, James, I'll be honest with you, not just with what Henri said, but for the last few years, no matter what organization it is, I'm like, do some of these guys really believe what they're really saying, or are they just doing it for the very reason that we all think they're doing it for? Engagement. Because sometimes I generally don't think they believe what they're saying, if we're going to be really, really honest. With regards to what Henri said, Ray's articulated the points perfectly. Listen, there were some really good one-off games you can think of. but there were some really bad ones. I think I was done after Baku, if I'm going to be really, really honest. Because that's me.
I said second. I was like, don't let him get off the plane. I don't care that he got us to a European final. I'm like, that is the worst performance I've ever seen.
Yeah, that second half was, I'm sorry. That's, even now I think about it, it still pains me. It's always going to pay me anyway, regardless, because it's an European trophy.
Well, it made me laugh. All these people, oh, look at Lucas Torreira cry. I went, I'm fucking crying. I don't care about Lucas Torreira. Then I'm crying. I'm like, exactly. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. When you've lost four European finals in a row, of course it's going to fucking hurt.
I said he gets to go home and he's still getting, what, 90-odd thousand pound a week? I've got fuck all for watching that.
Yeah. And now, fair play. Listen, Unai Emery's had a reputation, obviously, working in Spain, winning Europa League a number of times. I thought it was a good appointment at the time for Villa, to be honest with you. And it's proved to be probably an even better appointment than they thought. Yes, he's been backed at Villa. He didn't get back to Arsenal. What we're going to do, rewrite the history books? We're going to bring him back to Arsenal. There's plenty, as you know, as a content creator and Ray as a guest appearing on podcast after podcast. There's enough channels out there that will cover this to the death. If I fancy listening to it, I might do. More than likely, I won't. to be honest with you, one, because I've got a life, and two, I just find some topics a little bit redundant, if I'm going to be really, really honest with you. That's my sort of Albert JTV take on it, mate.
Thank you, man. And just quick, I've got two quick ones.
Go on,
James. And then we will be straight out of here. So, unlike other people, I won't mention names. I think he rhymes with a very popular cereal brand. I've got a lineup here that I'm going to do. I'm not going to charge you £15 for the privilege of hearing what my lineup's going to be, unlike these other people. It's all for free here. So, I've quickly notched up this little graphic here. Hopefully you can all see it.
Yes.
And that is the team that ended the game for us in the Champions League midweek. And I think, unfortunately, due to the injuries that we have, this is going to be the team that's going to play. Because, Ray, you made a great point earlier about people saying about Thomas Partey being put at right back. And I actually saw a journalist say this. He believed that Declan Rice will be moved to the six and then Moreno will come in and Thomas Partey will go to the right back. Well, for me, if you make Thomas Partey do long distance running and try and play out of a congested space, you're going to ruin him. Like I said earlier, he's not athleticism wise. I don't want Thomas Partey doing long distance running.
No.
And I don't want him. And I don't want him, you know, being in a congested space. So that's what I think is going to happen. I'm happy to be proven wrong. I'm happy for Timber to be back and healthy. I'm happy for Ben White to be healthy. Hell, I'd even take Tomiyasu back and healthy. I'll be happy with any natural right back instead of playing a left-footed player at right back. I don't believe Calafiori's poor in it, you know, but I would rather have a natural right-footed player there if we could. Both of you, yes or no, do you think that's going to be the same team or do you think it's going to be different?
Ray, go ahead, mate. Go on, mate.
Yeah, I think it probably will be, to be fair. I mean, like you said, I think the only thing is the right back position. Hopefully, I don't think it's likely, is it? But hopefully, Timber or White will be fit enough to at least start that game. But if not, I could quite easily see it being something along them lines anyway. I'm hoping we get a proper right back as well. Because, I mean, this is the thing as well, the relationship that they have with Bukayo Saka in particular, and this is what I've been impressed with Timber about, as well as what we mentioned earlier, is that the transition when he plays, there isn't a lot different, is there, to Ben White. He's still able to get up and support Saka in the same way that White is. So, yeah, just hopefully we can get one of them back.
Albert?
Ooh, you know what? I think defensively, I'm hoping, like Ray said, I'm hoping either if it's not going to be Timber, it depends how bad the muscular injury is. He might be fine, but I'm hoping Ben White, I'm hoping one of the two will play right back. Then obviously move Calafiori over to left back. So that's sorted. But like I said, I think defensive cover for now, the key word, we're okay-ish. Is there an argument to play Ethan on Saturday tomorrow? I think there is, to be honest with you. Because it's not like you've got inexperience in and around him. And you're at home and you're playing against a team that's only got 1 point out of six games. Will Mikel take the chance to maybe play him, start him? Possibly. I don't think he would, but I would like to see it. I think if you can bed him in for particular games, definitely in the Premier League anyway, for certain, then you get him in and you give him his minutes and he's dynamic and he gives us something very, very different in that Arsenal makeup. But I wouldn't argue with the front three at all. I think it kind of picks itself at the moment, if I'm going to be honest with you. Unless you bring in Sterling, who knows? I think the fact we're having this conversation in regards to some of the players that may potentially start is more than a positive, particularly at home to Southampton.
Yeah, 100%. And then my next question, and I'll go to you first this time, Albert, is prediction, please.
3-0 Arsenal.
Nice. Right?
I think 2-0 Arsenal. I'm hoping Aaron Ramsdale doesn't come back and have a blinder, a bit like that Leicester goalkeeper, to be honest.
I thought you were going to say, I hope he doesn't come back and score. I was going to say, oh dear.
Well, I mean, he did score for Southampton that last time that we played him, so he does owe us one. But yeah, this is the thing. I was thinking about this earlier on, actually, and again, I think our set pieces are so good these days that it probably won't matter. But he, of all the Premier League goalkeepers, he does have insight of what we do at set plays. So potentially, maybe he could brief Southampton a little bit on what we do. Whether they're good enough to stop us is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is another thing, but potentially that might come into play. So we might have to be a little bit patient with some of our corners and some of our routines, just because if Southampton seem like they know what we're going to do a few times, just my theory, I think that having that bit of knowledge might work in their favour. But ultimately, they've been a poor side this season, as we mentioned. Poor Russell Martin is on the brink by the looks of it. He's still got a glamour model as a girlfriend, so it's not all bad for him. But or an ex glamour model, but he's having a tough time of it. And the thing is that when you play expansive and out of the back and risky football in the Championship, and it works, and you're one of the better teams, you're laughing. But in this league, especially as a newly promoted team, it's always going to be tough for you, isn't it? So, yeah, I think we should have more than enough to get the job done. Hopefully we can get the goal difference up a little bit. But I said this before the Leicester game, and look at how that turned out. So just hopefully we can just win the bloody thing.
Yeah, and just quickly before we leave, we've got a comment here from Neil, and he's saying, Mum is asking which club has the most supporters in the world. Is it Man U? We have the biggest social media presence. So to answer this quickly, Neil, I don't believe they're the biggest. There's two ways to answer this. So in terms of actual supporters clubs worldwide, who has the most, it's Celtic and Rangers. So if you go per country, all around the world, I don't know what it is with Scottish people, but they seem to spread out. So Celtic and Rangers, yeah, they're the two with the most diverse fan bases, because they're just everywhere. But yeah, I think your mum is correct, mate. And it is Manchester United, I think, are the most supported club in the world, I believe. Maybe even Real Madrid. It's got to be one of them two. Well, about you guys?
They're probably not as well supported these days, Man United, as they normally are.
No. A lot of them have gone back to supporting Chelsea again, or whoever they supported, you know, before.
We absolutely have the biggest social media presence. Jesus.
Yes.
Whatever way you want to look at that, whatever context you want to look at it, we do.
Yeah, good and bad. Yeah, there's a lot, you know, and all of us have got a podcast. So, And Neil said here, give her a mention and embarrass her. No, I will not embarrass your mother, Neil. We love mums on this channel. So yes, thank you very much, Neil's mum, for watching. Appreciate you viewing. And yeah, I hope everything is good for you and the family, Neil. So before, again, we wrap up, Ray, everyone always enjoys what well you done, have
Ray.
To say.
Well done, Ray.
You need to escape the prison, as you called it earlier. Where can people
just decorate
find
the
you?
Place, really?
Where can people find you if they want to read more or hear more? Ray? And I know yes. you're dodging all the Cole Palmer avatars and the
Uncle. Yeah, this is it. Yeah. It's every month, mate, on Twitter or X, it's another Chelsea avatar that I'm just blocking or avoiding. So, yeah, I've done Enzo, I've done Cole Palmer, I've done Nicholas Jackson. God knows it's going to be Gusto or someone now, probably. And they've got so many players, I can't keep up. That's the problem. But yeah, if you want to follow me, Instagram is probably the best place, RayCassim92. I've also launched a dog walking
Yes, Ray. Shout out the business
company
man.
As Go well. So I'll shout it out. Listen, I know you're based in Essex, so I'm probably not going to get many customers where you are, mate. But
hey, man, I've walked a few dogs around Essex. So it's not a problem.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, anyone, my links are on there on my Instagram. So it's Ray, Ray's Dog Walking Services, Hastings. Quite a long one, but it's Ron Seal, it's Ginsters, I can't even remember the player that we said was Ginsters now,
I will chuck it in the description, Ray, as well
for yeah you. But anyone that out. I'm really new to it, so anyone that knows, you know, websites, social media, building businesses, that sort of thing, please get in touch, because any help or advice is much appreciated. So thank you very much.
Legend. And Albert, all of your links are in the description, audio and visual. I had to find it. I couldn't find your Apple link, but I got it in the end. I was scouring Google, and I realized that they were, for whatever reason, Google would just put in podcasts that you were tagged in. They weren't even yours. It was just ones that had your Twitter handle on.
There you go.
And what have you, or your name. So I was like, no, I want to find his actual podcast, please. But yeah, I've done it. So don't worry, you're all covered. But yes, if people want to hear you, see you, write you a love letter, where can they find you, Albert?
I don't know. I prefer love letters and some of these letters that some of the YouTubers are receiving from other clubs. But yeah, that's another thing. That's another story, man. But yes, thank you for having me on, mate. Albert JTV. The Twitter handle is there. At AUMA 57, even forgot my Twitter handle. I shall be doing, I won't be at the game tomorrow. One, because I forgot to enter the ballot, which was a criminal mistake. Two, even if I did get a ticket, I just would not have been able to do it because I'm out in central London enjoying a night out. But to leave the game early, to come back home, to get back changed, to come back to central London, not doing it. It's just completely not worth it. So, that I'll be doing a watch along on my channel and Lee Judges TV tomorrow. So that should be fun.
Good man. Good man. Well, thank you everybody that's been watching. And again, thank you, Ray. And thank you, Albert. And we will be back to do the Southampton game. So yeah, cheers everybody. Take care. Have a good rest of your evening and enjoy the game tomorrow. And I realise I haven't done my prediction. It's the same as yours, Albert. I'm going 3-0 Arsenal. Bye everybody. Yeah.